Hey everybody, hello and welcome. So good to see you guys. Hello. Good to see you 2 days in a row. How's everybody today? Good? All right, awesome. Okay, so we are here, of course, for the Six Figure Biz Academy and got a lot of stuff to cover today. In particular, we are going to talk about the process of creating multiple streams of income. So I've got a pretty detailed handout that I created for you, but I also want this to be really interactive because I know you're going to have questions about this topic. So that being said, why don't we start? I'd love to hear from you, especially after yesterday, right? We had a really kind of an interesting and cool call yesterday with April. How are you guys feeling after that? How are you feeling, Kara? Any more enlightened?
Yeah, no, I loved it. I thought she was the cutest, most adorable
thing. Yeah, I love her.
And she had great pearls. And I wrote some of them down, and a lot of them I think I kind of know, but just like I tell my clients, we just need to hear it.
Yeah.
And some of them I didn't like. I thought was a great idea. I didn't think of it myself. So.
Yeah. It was
a lot of work to do, but I thought she was great.
Yeah. So do you feel like, because I get your conundrum, right? It sounds like you're getting pain in the butt clients based on what you're sharing.
And they're not all like that, honestly. Well, they're not. But I think what happens is that every time I get one more of those, it's like a thorn for me. And so it keeps making me not want to go in that direction, even though I do get really good ones and I get good, you know, I like it. But at the end of the day, when she really said, like, you got to just sit and write down, like, what your values are and what's important,
right?
You know, what makes you tick, you know, that doesn't always make me tick. It just, it just doesn't. So, you know,
right.
That I know.
And then I think the big difference, obviously, with you versus her situation versus many, is that, like, she kind of has the luxury of not being pressured to make revenue. Right? That's a huge difference.
That's what I wrote in my little, in the chat. Like, if I could just let that one thing go, I know that's the issue. And that's what holds me back, because I keep going for the money and then I am not going for what I really should be doing.
Right.
And it's like insanity. Stop doing the same thing over and over again.
Right.
So little I'm learning, but I just have to keep getting the pain to way away from
it. Well, a couple things came up, you know, especially with you, because you were so generous in sharing. You know, and I know several of you are kind of in that same camp. It did make me wonder about, well, first of all, I think today's session is going to be really a good conversation for everyone here, and definitely for you as well, Kara. So it made me wonder if your classes that you really enjoy doing, your clean eating, maybe would be a funnel in of themselves that lead to, I think Barbara was the one that brought up the idea of group coaching, right? So, I mean, that could be, I think, a real viable possibility, right?
I think you're absolutely right, because what ends up happening is that when I do these clean eating programs, I did get a few clients out of it, and they're good ones, because mm-hmm. I got to know them, they got to know me. So once we started working together, we already knew we were a good fit.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I guess the issue with that is that my marketing piece needs a lot of work, because I'm not generating enough people to join. And maybe that's just a matter of time and growing the list and that piece.
Right.
Yes, I do believe that that's a good route for me for sure. It's
yeah.
just, I'm not getting enough volume.
For your clean eating programs?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You had what, like close to around 20-ish last time?
I had 21, but, you know, the one before that, I had 36, which I was like, wow, that's great. And I kept thinking each time I do it, the numbers would go up. But unfortunately, this go around, the number went down, and I'm just attributing it to COVID.
Exactly. I don't know that you can put, like, make a whole career judgment.
No.
Over, you know what I'm saying? I just don't. Like, honestly, sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. Even in the best of times. Seriously. Yeah.
So
even
I guess
the best of times.
I guess for me, my biggest question always pops up in my head, and I really do believe there's just time needs to happen. But, you know, when I see other people do some of these things, I see a lot more comments. Like, I'll always ask questions. Like, if I do a smoothie, you know, and I give a recipe, and I'm like, what's your favorite go-to? I don't get a whole lot of comments. And, like, when I look at others, I see all sorts of comments. So I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Like, why are they not commenting? But I think it's just the volume. I don't have the volume of people visually seeing to get a few comments. So
on your lives.
Huh?
On your Facebook lives?
On the lives or my posts.
Oh, my posts. Okay.
Like, I see other people getting a lot more engagement in the posts, which is
important. And the posts being where? On Instagram? Okay. Yeah, I mean, gosh, the Instagram's a whole animal, right? Like,
it's an animal. And it messes with your mind.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
From my perspective, I think you're doing great. I wouldn't let things like that get in your way, like number of comment, none of that. I mean, that's like a whole separate box that we can open and explore.
It's Pandora. I get it.
That one especially.
I get it.
Instagram. I would just encourage you, you know, like, I mean, many of us, myself included, you know, I love what I do. And I feel so blessed that I get to do this. At the same time, I don't, you know, I'm in a position, I have to generate revenue, right? I have to, you know, and so it forces me to, you know, try, and I have a fan, you know, all the same stuff, right? I try to balance my values for sure, just like, you know, what we talked about yesterday, and also really try to be strategic, which I know you're trying to do. The one-on-ones, like, in my viewpoint with myself as well as my clients, I really do think, like, that, and April mentioned this too, like, that really is your opportunity to generate the most revenue. But you really want to be picky who you let in. And I really think the pickier you are, like, the more demand you're going to get. It's really, it's like a psychological thing.
Yeah.
So I do think that's something that we can work on, because I did get the sense that, like, you just feel so, like, you have to take everyone. You're getting better based on what you said.
Yeah, no, I am.
But really, because we want to really minimize those bad experiences to the extent we could. We don't always know, but if you can start to, and everybody, same thing, start to see those red flags and start to really pay attention. Okay.
Yeah. No, listen, I'll just share one experience with everyone, and then I'll get off, because I never like to take up a whole lot of time. But I had this one client. She didn't end up becoming my client, by the way, but she called me. I did this discovery call. I do more than 20 minutes. Part of me is I allow people to talk and I listen. And that's part of the reason why I think people like me, because I listen. And I'm interested. I'm a passionate personally to help people. So anyway, so she talked to me and she had these issues and she had some financial issues. We discussed those. She had whatever her issues were. I gave her good responses to all of them, and she liked it. And she made an appointment with me. It took like two discovery calls and handling finances, but we got it covered. The first appointment, she canceled. Mm. We made another appointment, And literally, right, I don't know, an hour before, she tells me that she had to take her nephew to his allergist appointment. Could we reschedule?
Okay.
Red flag. And then I said, okay, I'm going to give her three strikes, you're out. So I gave her one more chance, and we rescheduled for a Monday, this particular Monday that just passed. And no joke, Sunday night, she's like, oh, my God, I have so many things I need to do. Can we reschedule? And I'm saying to myself, what the heck is wrong with you? Like, why would you make an appointment if you have so many other things you have to do? Obviously, I'm not on your priority list. I didn't say it like that. Right. But I basically told her, it looks like you have a lot going on right now. And I just don't think this is a good fit for us to work together. I wish you the best of luck and take care. And she actually sent me a nice message, and she was just like, thank you, and I understand. And I fired her before I hired her, because good. I didn't keep on going down that rabbit hole, because she was just like not committed at all.
No, that's just like that. That's like out of control. Completely.
But the old me would have let her probably keep on going, and we probably never would have met. But I just cut it after three.
I'm glad. Yeah, because that just kind of ended.
It's annoying. Like, who does that?
No, I don't know who does it. So, like little things, like guys, remember, they call you, you don't call them. Like little things. I'm not saying that's going to solve it all. Okay. But like little things that we can do to train them that, hey, this is your responsibility. And if they're dumping on you, like, can we turn that in the conversation to say, you know, to ask, like, how is this going, you know, how is this impacting our work together? How is this going to impact, you know, the goals that you're trying to achieve, right? Like, somehow, if we can take what they're saying and put it on their shoulders, like instead of, because I know it's so hard, especially because guys, you're dealing with sick people for the most part, right? And so you've got it's a whole extra burden, right? They're either physically sick, literally, and, you know, like there is a lot of crossover with, you know, anxiety, depression, like obsessive, you know, behavior, all that kind of thing with a lot of the people that you work with. So it is very challenging.
It's heavy. It's just heavy stuff.
It's super heavy. Yeah. I would say this, guys, watch your time. Okay. Because if you're getting all this like extraneous like information, it does make me wonder, well, gosh, how much time is that taking? And if you can gently redirect people and really try to stay on time. So that's one thing. You know, in terms of like strategy, so I do still hang my hat on the idea that in a really healthy business, do you guys remember that triangle from day one? I swear by that methodology. Even if you are somebody that really just wants groups, I still think having some one-on-ones at a significantly higher price point is really going to behoove you, right? So, so again, just to kind of, you know, big picture strategy, ideally you're going to have some higher end one-on-one clients. They're going to hopefully be ideal. You're going to weed out, I know you can't always do it, but do your best. Listen to your gut, guys. If you're getting people that are a real pain in the butt, we got to do something about that. And somehow, like, you know, reflect. Think about, gosh, looking back on those conversations, what were the red flags, right? And you'll train yourself to really be able to look for them and trust yourselves. If it doesn't feel right, I just would, you know, especially, you know, if you're starting to feel burnt out. So ideally we're going to have some one-on-ones that are higher end, and they're hopefully going to be a joy, right? We're going to try to minimize the, you know, real needy, difficult clients. We're building your audience, right? Like, so the last several weeks we've been talking about all kinds of different marketing strategies to get in front of your audience. including newsletters, right? You know, nurturing the email list, growing your email list, growing your authority in the community through all kinds of different platforms. Hopefully you're repurposing your content, right? So that you're not like recreating the wheel every week or every other week. So that's super important as well, just to really guard your time. And then that brings us to really where we are today, and that is multiple streams of income, right? So once you start getting traction and getting yeses, again, in those higher end programs, right, ideally, and you know, your list is starting to grow, you're getting traction, then it could be time to look for opportunities to add additional income streams to your business, right? Doesn't always have to be in that exact order, but I will say, if you are someone that needs the revenue or wants the revenue, the thing about jumping from, like, kind of skipping the one-on-one client part is that it's just going to take you longer to start generating revenue if you go pretty much right from zero, or, you know, like really early in your business process, to trying to create a successful course or program. It just is going to take a little longer. So that's why, you know, I like to encourage you to, you know, get a few clients so that you can, you know, pay your way, basically. You can pay the bills as you build your audience. So that's really the rationale behind the strategy. You can certainly skip it, meaning the whole one-on-one, but you just have to know that it's probably going to take you a little longer to become profitable. Just because, you know, you don't, unless you've already got an audience, then that's a whole different story. Like, if you've got an audience and a following, then, you know, maybe we can skip the one-on-ones, or at least really minimize it. But it's really interesting when you start to have courses and other offerings, it actually increases the demand for your one-on-one work. Because, you know, just, I think Kara said too, you know, after your groups, you always end up having people that are like, oh my gosh, what's next, right? So it is kind of, you know, a nice funnel in of itself. So really, I just want to encourage you guys to stay at it. You know, the stuff does not all, I mean, it does take time. Guys, being an entrepreneur is not the easiest gig, right? Like, seriously, if you wanted easy, if I wanted easy, I'd probably go get a job, in all honesty, like easy, right? Not to say that jobs are easy, like they come with their own issues, but, you know, for the most part, some jobs you can, you know, show up and leave and, like, you know, you're kind of done. Not all, but so, you know, the entrepreneur thing is not, like, I would not call it the easy route for sure, because, you know, you have to fill your own spots. You have to, you know, attract your own clients and all that good stuff. But I will stand firmly, there's nothing more rewarding, you know, like when you can call the shots and, you know, like, there's just nothing better, at least in my book. So I think Barbara, let's see, what's Barbara have to say? Hey, Barbara.
I was thinking about Kara, and if you can take your group and then upsell them on something that's more concentrated so that they continue to work with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly the way to go. So, I mean, even if you had 21 people, like, honestly, Kara, I don't think that's anything to sneeze at. I really don't. Especially during COVID, I would actually give you credit versus, like, beating yourself up, you know? I really would. And don't forget, you did raise your price point. It wasn't a ton, but it was in the time of COVID. So I think, you know, like, yes, we look at our bottom line, and sometimes that can be challenging. You've been through, seriously, like, completely unprecedented time in human history, right? Like, seriously. So just the fact that you guys are, I mean, you're getting clients, things are starting, I mean, that really says a lot. So, you know, I would just say, let's really try to be strategic, if you're feeling burnt out on the one-on-ones, totally get that. It can be exhausting. You just have to make a decision. Like, I'm all about looking at your values and things like that. I'm also about, like, okay, you got to pay the bills too, right? It's kind of a balance. I mean, I wish it worked, but it just is, right? So if you decide, gosh, you know, I'm little, you know, like, not too sure, I'm super excited about doing one-on-ones, how can we make it better? How can we make it better? What are some ways we can, you know, somehow tweak your process, maybe? Screen people better, something, just to improve that. Maybe we raise your prices and just make it more exclusive, right? And you just go with it. You're like, okay, if I can raise my my price, then even if I get someone that's a pain in the butt, at least I know I'm getting compensated very well, right? So that's like another option. I have some clients who go, you know what? I want to increase my profit margin. I don't really want to raise my price. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to look at my program. I'm going to like remove a couple sessions, you know, or I'm going to kind of restructure it so it isn't as time consuming. I just had someone do that the other day. Some of my clients that do testing, and you know, maybe they have labs included in their programs. Like, I just had a client yesterday that said she decided to switch labs. You know, her labs were kind of, you know, she wasn't super happy. And plus, you know, it was going to cost less. Like, these labs were less expensive. So, you know, that increased her profit margin a bit. So anyway, I would just say, look at your one-on-ones as kind of exclusive as we start to move you into, you know, more of the, you know, the group format. But I do think, like, I got to say, like, Barbara's idea of like a higher touch group coaching kind of program, I really think that could be the ticket, especially like for Kara. So, you know, Kara, after you do your clean eating program, are you, right now, what are you offering them as the next step? Do you have a next step for them, or Kara?
Yeah, so what I do as the next step is I offer them to wean back into, you know, bringing in the sugar and then bringing in the wheat, like bringing in the food, three food groups isolated, so they can continue their journey and not just, you know, eat clean for 21 days and then kibosh it and not know how to find out if they have any issues or things like that. But, you know, in the past, I've done that two of the times of my clean eating program. And I really didn't, I got a few people that jumped on it, but not that many, and then a few people that became my clients. But again, I in my mind, I feel like part of the reason why it's so little numbers is that the actual class isn't that big. So to think that 50% of the class is going to continue with me, I think is too much to.
So that's why
I think my numbers get so little, because I don't start out with a lot.
Right. That may be very true. And it, I'm sure, yeah, absolutely. Like, if you get half, it's, you're lucky.
Right. No, I don't even, yeah.
But if each person is paying, like, you know, a couple hundred bucks a month to continue in a group coaching type of format, maybe that would make it worth it. If it's only,
I guess, like, I don't know what that would, like, in a group coaching program, would that also be like another whole program in and of itself where I have structured kind of modules?
Well, okay. So that, I think that's a great conversation for us to have, actually. So there are programs, like, we'll just use the word coaching kind of loosely, right? Well, let me just kind of describe what I mean by coaching, I guess, in general. Is answering questions, you know, giving everyone an opportunity to update the group, really helping people to walk away from each of those sessions with specific goals that they're working on, right? So to me, like, that accountability and that handholding and support, that is coaching. So there are programs, and I have them in my own business, where it's less content driven but more interaction. Okay. So, and I personally think that after someone goes through a program and like gets a lot of content and information, quite often the next step is not more content and information. It's, to me, logically speaking, I personally, and you could, like, there's different ways you can do it, right? Like, maybe there is a next step that is content heavy. So that is one option for sure. But sometimes the option is, okay, guys, you learned all of this awesome stuff. The next step, like, many of you want to actually implement, and you need accountability to implement. And so I decided to create this really cool program. It's super high touch, intimate, small, where we can all support each other. And you know, you have to be clear on what, you know, what kind of outcomes you can, or, you know, like what your promises are, right? In terms of, like, you know, in each session, everyone's going to have an opportunity to do an update and set goals, you know, stuff like that. You have to be kind of clear about how it's going to be structured. But the bottom line is, I think as dietitians and nutritionists and just practitioners in general, we're very, we do tend to think more about the content and, just like the stuff we're going to teach, right? And I tend to do the same thing, right? It's just kind of how we're wired. It doesn't always have to be that way. Like, coaching groups are sometimes more about, maybe you could do a teeny bit of teaching and then goal setting and problem solving and, you know, group interaction. Like, basically the way I would look at it is the next step is to ensure you're actually making it happen, right? Because let's face it, you know, in a short, you know, very information heavy group course, like, even like the best intended of us, you're going to have people that it's just not enough, you know, it's just not enough for them, right? Like, they get partway there, but they still need like that support, accountability, and handholding for them to actually bring it home. So that's kind of like what I would envision for Kara and several of you as a potential next step, right? Especially if you're kind of sick of one-on-ones. I mean, alternatively, you could make an offer at the end of your program. You could say, okay, so, you know, I've got like, you know, a few, like three openings in my practice. If, you know, anyone's interested in learning more to see if you're a good fit, blah, 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 then let's schedule a call. You know, you could, and really, you know, structure your offer as pretty exclusive, right, as a next step. And again, the positioning is to help them to actually bring it home, right? So I think your program is 21 days, right? I mean, you can get a fair amount done in 21 days, but let's be honest, like, what are the chances they're going to relapse, you know?
Very high.
Very high. I mean, you know, like, yeah, that's scratching the surface. Like, they got a taste of what it could be like if indeed they actually did the work. But just for, like, so you can position it for long-term success, you know, to really bring it.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I think what I did was just offered, like, a meal planner so that they could follow it to, you know, to get back onto each food group. But it really was just a meal planner. I didn't offer the support and the classes like I was doing in the 21 day, because I was hoping that, and which did happen, I just figured in my head, okay, the people that want to keep on going will call me personally and say, listen, I want to work with, because that's what happened. Like, some of them were like, I love the program, but I have very specific questions and I don't think it's like a group thing. I'd like to work with you one-on-one. So I said, great. And then for the other people, I just offered, like, if you just want more ideas on how to wean these foods back in, for $29.95 or whatever, I offered like this meal planner, but I didn't offer the coaching piece. I just, you know what I'm saying? So I think
I think we need to be strategic, yeah, because I mean, you can't make a living with something like the next step being $29.99. You know?
I thought it's backwards.
Okay, your $29.99 thing should be first, not last. Okay, like your $29.99 thing is like your tripwire, right? So definitely we should be, I mean, you can go down in price, like don't get me wrong. Like not everyone is gonna wanna escalate in terms of price point, but I think going like it, your margin, like it's just too low. It's not helping you. Selling a $30 thing is not gonna do, it's not gonna do anything for you or them, quite frankly, because they just already had a 21-day thing that was, you know, very content heavy. I would totally switch that around strategically.
Yeah.
So that's my thought. It's interesting. I was looking at Chris. Chris, can you take yourself off of mute? I'd love to hear your perspective, because Chris was saying that she kind of got away from doing groups. Yeah, and Raquel, yes, I'm going to absolutely lead you through this process. Chris, are you?
Yes, hi.
Yeah. So you kind of took the other end of.
I did. That's what I posted in the Facebook about my prices. So I've gotten a lot more. I have a lot more clients coming in that are one-on-one, and I've been using those three questions that you had suggested.
Yeah.
And every time I use those, I get tears on the other end.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
in the enrollment call? In the enrollment call?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you are killing it with the enrollment conversation.
Yeah, it feels weird, but.
Yeah, I know, because it's out of our comfort zone. Like we're not used to talking about feelings.
But they just, it just gets to them emotionally. And then I give them a couple of days to, I ask them, if you're not ready to sign up, then how about we chat on Monday if it's like Thursday?
Yeah.
And the few people that I've done that to, because they weren't ready, they've enrolled. So, and I send them a really nice email in between. I'd love to follow, I forget how I worded it, but I was surprising myself how I worded it. But the guy wrote back. And
Kara, they're enrolling in her signature program.
Yes.
Yeah. And we gave Chris a nice raise. I remember, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And I also had somebody today that I enrolled in the continuation program because she was my last, it was our last session.
Okay.
So I just am learning to sell myself and realize making them see the value of how we can continue working together. It'd be the same structure and just 30 minute, you know, just whatever it is per meeting. And the group programs, I didn't make that much money and I personalized and there's a lot more time than I wanted to spend. So I thought, you know what, this isn't worth my time. I'd rather deal with the one-on-ones. And I've dealt with two people. One was walking by because I have an office downtown that I share, and another was referral. So it's referral after referral after referral after referral. I just got a new client from another family that was a referral. So that really helps to have the referral. And there were two clients that I helped. One of them told her with interstitial cystitis, just doing food sensitivity testing. Another one dropped weight. Doing food sensitivity testing because I work with the lab on that, and both of them have told like numerous people.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So Bula says a lot of referrals. It sounds like
a lot of referrals. Okay. Yeah. I don't even try to go on Instagram anymore. It's all just referrals and following up with the doctors and the doctors knowing about you and then telling their doctors, hey, you're on the referral list for my interstitial cystitis group, and you're the one who they could. So it's
okay. So a lot of people struggle with the whole doctor thing, especially in the cash model.
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. So the doctors reaching out to just the MDs that never would have thought that diet has an impact.
Yeah.
So getting on their list and sending them follow-up notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. You're killing it. So, yeah, you know what, guys? Doing group programs and launches and courses, it is a whole nother animal. Like, I can't really sugarcoat that. It is. It's really awesome, and it did literally change my life, but it doesn't come without its own rather significant set of stresses. Just going to be honest, right? Whenever I'm like, okay, I'm going to launch, it's like, oh boy, buckle up, right? So, all right. So let's go ahead and jump in to some content because I really want to make sure that we cover this. And I know, Olga, you have some questions. Let's try to get those questions answered, you know, throughout our session. Hopefully they are related to our topic today. Let's see, where'd my handout go? I have too many things open. Okay, here we go. So, all right, so I really want to help you guys figure out how, like, where a group program or online course or, you know, whatever it is you're thinking of, like, how does that fit into what it is that you want to accomplish in your business? So let's take a look at that that handout called Multiple Streams of Income Through Group Programs and Webinars and Products. So, okay, so here's the deal. There's only so many hours in a day, right? And that's really what got me moving towards group programs, right? Because I wanted to be able to leverage. And I love, like Kara, I love, love, love working in groups. So that really motivated me, and I know that motivates a lot of my clients. And there are people that are in need of your services that you just don't have time to serve. And there's a lot of people out there that are price sensitive, right? They just cannot afford to do those higher end programs that you're offering. So there's a lot of different reasons why we would want to do this. So it really can be a great segue. I'm looking at number four. So, like, lower tiered programs and products can be a great segue to move into private programs and vice versa. And I really hope that I've driven home with each of you the point that it's way better. And Chris brought this up indirectly. In terms, you definitely want to be trying to work with the same people, especially if you like them. Obviously, if you don't like them or if they're, like, you know, really a pain, you know, that's a different story. But generally speaking, from a business standpoint, you want to try to continue to find ways to serve your current population. All right, so bunch of different options. We've already started to talk about some options. One would be a group coaching program. We've touched on that a little bit. Now, a group coaching program can be, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can structure a group coaching program. Generally speaking, I would recommend, so it's a little different than maybe a course, right? So at least in my view, like, a course would be something like this. Six Figure Biz Academy is really a mix, right? It's very heavy content, but at the same time, there is a fair amount of, like, group coaching involved as well. So it's really more of a hybrid. An online course would be, for those of you that have taken, like, my Lucrative Course Blueprint or Turning Conversations into Clients, that would be, you know, it's like 6 weeks, generally speaking. It can be shorter. But generally speaking, there's not a whole lot of handholding and individual support, just in general, right? Although, you know, they can all be structured differently, but I would just say as a general rule, like, and that's in contrast to what I would say, like, group coaching would be. So group coaching, again, it could be an intimate group. Guys, I've had people, like, three people at some points, like, two or three people in a group coaching program, right? So it's not like you have to have a whole bunch of people. A group is more than one person. So, like, don't put a ton of pressure on yourself in terms of how many people. I mean, you have to make it worth your time, of course. It can start on a certain date and end on a certain date, right? So like if you did a follow-up group coaching program, it could be like, you know, we start on X date. It could be like coming off of like, let's say Kara's program again, her 21-day clean eating. So like if she did a follow-up group coaching program, in that case, I would have it start on a certain day, you know, meeting every week or every other week, and it would end, you know, maybe 3 months later, right? So if you're just starting this process, I would probably not do like a 6 month, because that's a really much bigger commitment for people, okay? So I would make it really easy, you know, easy for people to join. Start date, end date. And the reason why that can be really helpful is because then people get to know each other. Like, look at this group. You guys have gotten to know each other. You know, we kind of have our rhythm. We've got, like, this group has its own personality. It's really fun. Now, I have had other groups where people kind of come and go. They rotate. So there's pros and cons to that from a business standpoint. From a business standpoint, it's kind of good because you don't constantly have to like relaunch it. It's like always an option for people. You know what I mean? The downside to a program that's ongoing is you don't necessarily have that sense of continuity amongst the people in the group because, you know, people come and go, right? So there's different models there is really my main point. Of course, you've got digital products like, again, Kara was mentioning her $29 ebook. You know, that is, you know, like we could probably do something with that. Like that could be like a low-end offer that leads to higher level investments. So that's called a tripwire, right? You could actually do like an interesting idea. I've never done this, but I've really considered it. Well, actually, I think I am going to do it, come to think of it. You guys remember Kathy, my Facebook ads person? So you know, I've never done like a paid webinar, just kind of a one and done, like a 2 or 3 hour workshop where people actually pay for it. But I am going to give that a try with Kathy. She's going to do like a more in-depth, like a 3 hour workshop, really rolling up our sleeves and doing Facebook ads. So that'll be kind of my first time doing that. But I do want to put it out there. It is an option. Like you could do a 2 hour workshop and you could charge kind of a nominal, you know, you can't charge a lot because a lot of times people view webinars as free. But if you put it like in a workshop format with a workbook, that kind of thing, you know, you could, you know, again, it's the kind of thing that helps grow your audience. And you get more people on your list from promoting it. And it definitely helps to increase your sense of authority in the marketplace. So the first thing I would start with are, you know, what do you want? Like, why do you want to do this? You know, I have objectives here. Do you know, what is the purpose? What is your end game here, right? Do you want it to be part of a funnel? Do you want this step to lead to something else? Are you doing it because, you know, you want to use it as a list growing experience? Do you want to do it to ultimately get more one-on-one clients? Do you want to do it, you know, like what is your end game? Of course, you want to be really clear, guys. Oh my gosh, when it comes to selling groups, courses, anything like this, it has to be hyper specific. That is the one thing that is super important to understand. It cannot be vague at all. Otherwise, it's just going to be like, meh, yeah, you know, not sure if that really lands for me. But the more specificity and the more niched it is, the more it's going to resonate with people. So you really want to be clear on the who. Then I'm just trying to break this down into steps for you. So after you're clear on like who it is you want to target, what your purpose is, what your end game is, you want to start to brainstorm different themes or topics. And I'm really a fan of doing a survey. So I really, really highly recommend that you survey your audience and just get a sense of, you know, what they're looking for. I have used Google Forms with a lot of success, just being able to get a better sense of what people want. So, all right, so let's talk. I want to just spend a minute or two talking about some different models, okay, that you probably see out there. So one model that's really, really common, especially amongst the nutritionist dietitian sector, is the idea of doing an evergreen program. And so what an evergreen program would be is like basically you're pre-recording all of your content. So you're pre-recording your content and, you know, maybe you are uploading it to something like Teachable. You know, you could, I think you could upload it to Practice Better or Healthy as well for like an evergreen program. So anyway, you're pre-recording it and basically it's always available, right? So like someone can go to your website and be like, and go onto your services page and they can see, okay, well, I can either work with her one-on-one or I can start with this, you know, this course. So then I can maybe get a sense of if I like her or not, right? So that is definitely an option. So that's called an evergreen model. And that can be very effective. I'd say the couple of things that could make it not so effective is, you guys probably know this by now just from being in this academy, but you guys know that marketing is really all about creating a sense of urgency and scarcity to a degree, right? Just psychologically, unfortunately, we are procrastinators by nature. And a lot of times if something's always available, we don't always move on it, right? We're like, oh, maybe tomorrow, maybe another time. So that would be the downside. Now there are ways to like, there are tools out there that can help build in the sense of urgency and scarcity. Like, this is kind of going a little down the rabbit hole, so I don't want to spend much time here, but I want to just kind of give you a quick snapshot of what that could look like. So like, let's say you are like, I just want an evergreen program. I don't want to mess with live launches and I don't want to deliver my courses live. So you could do something like, I want to say Webinar Jam and Ever Webinar. Or maybe Kajabi. Kajabi might be one. You'd have to double check. But basically what it would entail is like you would run Facebook ads to your pre-recorded webinar, okay, that is offered on like, let's say Webinar Jam, for example, or Ever Webinar, okay? So you're running Facebook ads. So you got to run a lot of ads when you're in the evergreen model. So you're running ads, you get people to click it on, yes, I want to see this webinar. The webinar is free, okay? So they watch the webinar, and on this pre-recorded webinar, you lead them to your paid program, your paid course, okay? So, you know, you go through and talk about, you know, why they need to take this next step. You make it really compelling. And the way you can build scarcity with some of these tools is like you can set it up, and I've not done this, but I've seen it. You can set it up so that like for each individual person that views your webinar, your evergreen webinar, like then as soon as they're done or while they're watching it, you know, like maybe the person says, okay, if you buy this course before the webinar is over, you get, you know, this huge, amazing bonus. Or if you buy the course, take the next step within the next 24 hours, you get this, you know, amazing discount, something like that. So there are tools out there that can help build in that sense of urgency. Okay. So just as an FYI, the reality is, guys, I'll just be really, really blunt here. And that is, I do not recommend that you do an evergreen anything until you've done it live a couple of times, until you know you've got a winner of a product or a course, okay? Because otherwise you can be throwing a lot of money at something and it's just like, yeah. So I would really recommend you know, like it, if you can't get people in live during a live launch, then I would say we need to fix that before you try to put something on Evergreen. Because those platforms are not free, you know, they're not free. And I've seen a lot of people be very disappointed. Like they spend tons and tons of time, you know, trying to create this Evergreen program. They put it on their website and they're like, okay, done. I'm just going to be banking, you know, rolling in money in the middle of the night. And, you know, like there's just something not right. And it just, you know, it just kind of sits there. Yeah, and for sure, Barbara, live is valued more, without a doubt. So I really, you know, and here's the deal to you guys. Remember, there's so many ways you can do this. Like you could pre-record your modules if you wanted. I don't really recommend it, but you could. You could pre-record your modules and then you could include like a live Q&A component. I really want to encourage you to have some kind of live component to your, to whatever you do, because if it's just, you know, if it's 100%, you know, obviously 100% pre-recorded and Evergreen, people are not going to get great results. Like, I don't know. I've bought so many courses, countless courses where I'm like, yay, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And I never finish. I'm sure you guys can relate. If it's live, the perception of value is so much greater and people actually get results. They actually tend to finish the course more likely. So for sure, I highly recommend it. Definitely when you're first starting, even though doing a live launch, it is stressful. I can't sugarcoat that because it's like, oh my God, like how many people are going to sign up? You know, like, you know, it just is kind of the, it's just the way it is, right? It can be stressful. You don't know how many people are going to sign up. Sometimes you don't know until the very end, right? If you're going to even like have a good group, it's just kind of the nature of things. You just keep going, and you learn from it and you just, honestly, you just keep going and you tweak what you think needs fixing, you get feedback, you improve it. And then when you feel like you've got like this really awesome course that you know people want, you know they have a history of buying, then I would say, you know, if you want to go down the Evergreen route, then I would say that's a good time to explore that option. So let's see. Raquel, could you have a combo of this in life? Absolutely. Without a doubt. You can absolutely do a combo. Case in point, I, for my lucrative course blueprint, which I know some of you are also taking this time, that's exactly what I did. I'd never done that before. Historically, 100% of everything I did was 100% live. But this time I thought, you know what? Last time I did the course, it went awesome. I got tons of great feedback. I know the recordings, you know, there was some great interaction. So I made the strategic decision, although it was kind of scary, I'll be honest. I was like, ooh, you know, this is so, like, I'm just so used to doing everything live. What I decided to do was bundle up my recordings from the last time I offered the course. So, you know, it's a 6-module course. So bundled up the recordings, bundled up all the handouts, and then added to supplement and to provide a live component, I added 3 2-hour live Q&A calls. So every other week we do laser coaching and Q&A for 2 hours. So I think at the end, it's probably more valuable because, you know, you get the recordings and also, you know, you get like a lot of time with me so I can help answer your questions. Yeah. Thanks, Barbara. Yeah, I mean, it was scary. I'm not going to, like, I'm just so used to everything being live. And I was a little nervous. So, but it seems to, you know, I guess I'll find out. The course isn't over yet, but so far I'm getting good feedback. Okay, that's what I was thinking of starting with record most of the content and then do live Q&As. Yeah, I really, really like that idea, Raquel. And it really seems to be working. So what I ask people to do, Raquel, is not everybody does it, but I do, like, I'll send an email a couple days in advance, and I'll say, okay, our live Q&A call is coming up. Make sure you mark your calendars. And I do ask them to send their questions in advance. So that way, you know, I've got something to work with. And that seems to work really well. So then, you know, and there's always people that come, you know, just show up and have questions. But I really think it's I feel like it's higher value than just doing 90-minute sessions live just where I'm teaching, right? So, yeah, thanks, Barbara. Okay, what platform do you think would be best for that model? Well, I can share with you. I do it. Okay, so let me share what the model, like what the platform would look like. So, all right, in my case, okay, this is me. I recorded, like I do everything on Zoom, okay? I'm comfortable with Zoom for the most part. You know, it's, you know, my audience is comfortable with it. I think it's a great option. So I do all of my stuff on Zoom, and I did that as well. So obviously when I offered the course in the fall, I did all of the module, all the teaching on Zoom, okay? You know, and then obviously PDFs, right? Like you've got like a compilation of handouts and things like that. So then the live Q&As, I also do on Zoom. It's, you know, $15 a month. I don't think you need anything fancier. And some of you already have access to Zoom through Practice Better or Healthy. But even if you don't, I mean, $15 a month, you really can't beat that. So I do everything on Zoom. Now, the question I think Raquel has is, you know, like, how do you, like, you know, in terms of where do you house this content, right? Okay, so let's just try to think through that for a minute. So one thing I want to share with you guys when you're thinking through the logistics, I believe it's beneficial to, it's called dripping out your content. So what I don't want to do is overwhelm my audience. Like once they buy, I don't want to send them all six modules at once. Okay. Some people do that and it, you know, for whatever, you know, maybe it works for them. I don't want to do that because remember my goal, I want people to actually cross the finish line. So if you're going to drip out content, I believe, and Raquel, what platform are you using? Do you use Healthy or Practice Better? Because I think you can drip content on those platforms. Okay. Oh, the free version. Okay. So I think you have to upgrade to the paid version in order to have the capability of you know, housing your, so basically you're unlocking each week, you're unlocking, like, so in my case, back to my example, every Monday I send my audience, my participants an email saying, hey everybody, happy Monday. You know, just wanted to let you know, module 5 is up, click here to, you know, access it. So I let them know via email that the module is up and available. You could do the same thing through Practice Better. You would just have to obviously upgrade because I don't think they do that for free. Yeah, okay, the group version is 80 a month. Yeah, so you do need, well, you know what? I'll tell you what, Raquel, let me share with you some other ideas in case you don't want to spend that money, okay? Because I don't think you have to. Guys, I have really bootstrapped this process before. I've done like the most simple launches known to man, for real. Like literally dial and smile, right? Pick up the phone, hand invite people, say, hey, I have this thing, you know, this course coming up. I really think you'd be an awesome fit. You know, what do you think? Like seriously, my very early launches, I didn't even send out an email. Okay, I just picked up the phone and called people, invited them, and it worked. You know, I got a whole bunch of people in it. So I didn't have any technology back then. I just was like, I don't want to get overwhelmed with that. So what I did was back then, well, I think I just used a Facebook group, to be honest with you. So you could literally upload. Now, there's a lot of pros and cons to Facebook. I'm not going to lie about that. There are people that are like, I refuse to use Facebook. I hate it. I'm not doing it. So there is that. It's a minority of people. But I will say Facebook, they have made some improvements with their Facebook group so that you can actually create modules inside of your private group. So that is an option. And back in my really early days, I would send the handouts to people, everyone that was signed up for my course, I would literally send them by email. Okay. I'd email them. And then I'd have a private Facebook group, and I would upload the handouts, the PDFs in that private Facebook group. Okay. So they could, you know, they would have two places to get the handouts in advance. And then I would, after I did the Zoom recording, I would just simply upload that recording into Facebook as well. And that's it. You could do the same thing with like Dropbox or, you know, Google Drive, right? So there are like three ways that you can do this if you don't want to upgrade to practice, you know, the paid version. Does that help? Okay, perfect. Chris did the same thing. Yeah. So, you know, you're every now and then you're going to get a person that isn't going to go for it. They're going to be like, nope, not doing that. But generally speaking, I would say you'll be fine. So, all right. And you know, if by chance you get someone that won't do Facebook, you can, like I said, you could upload things to Dropbox quite readily, and they can access everything in Dropbox for free as well. You know, you could do a free account. Okay, so that is like the really super simple technology. Guys, go easy, go cheap, go streamlined. Do not spend a ton of money. Like when I read Kajabi, or if you guys are familiar with Kajabi, I swear, you read their marketing, oh my God, like it is so tempting to sign up. They make you, it makes it feel like it's just going to do it all by itself. And just be cognizant that it just doesn't work that way. So like you don't need something super fancy. You just don't. Like, I don't want you spending a whole bunch of money. Okay. Yeah. Or just email it to them separately. Yeah, exactly. So lots of ways that you can handle that. So we talked about Evergreen. So now I want to just talk a little bit about like periodic launches. Okay. And just kind of what that is. So periodic launches, and that's really what I do. I have like live launches where things start on a certain date and end on a certain date, right? So, you know, that what that does is it does create urgency. It does create, you know, hopefully some excitement. You're definitely on a schedule. I'm going to give you some very kind of big picture dates to keep in mind, or like time frames as you think about planning. Okay. So if you do a periodic launch, what I like to do, step one, is ask yourself, what is the start date of my course? Okay. So what is the start date? So, all right. So I'm going to look at my calendar. I'm just going to give like a fictitious example here. All right, so let's just say you want to start a course on Wednesday, September 2nd, okay? So that's the start of your course or your group. So what you're going to want to do is, you know, you need, at least this is my frame of reference, and what I do is I give myself 2 weeks to the day to promote the paid thing. Okay, so if I'm going to start my course on the 2nd of September, then that means I need to, on the 19th of August is the day I start promoting the paid product. So that's the day, like, my, you know, I have an email going out about the paid event, or, Okay, so this is more decisions that need to be made. Okay, so leading up to a paid event, quite often we do a free thing that gets people excited, right? Like many of you probably participated in my four-day free event that I did in Facebook, right? All about creating funnels, sales funnels, right? So that led to the upsell, which was my paid course, okay? So from a timing perspective, I give myself 2 solid weeks of promoting that paid thing. So looking at the calendar, I was like, okay, so if my course starts on August 2nd, that means on the 19th, I'm doing my upsell, right? I'm doing my pitch. Generally, that involves, you know, some emailing, but it also, for me, this is how I choose to do it. It also involves either like a big webinar, or in the case of my last launch, you know, a multi-day event inside of a Facebook group, right? So that event happens, if it's a webinar, then I usually try to make the webinar, you know, 2 weeks to the day before my paid program starts. So I go, okay, so I'm going to plan this out. I'm going to work backwards. So my paid program starts September 2nd, okay? So that means if I do a webinar, the webinar needs to be the 19th, okay? And then if I do a webinar or even a Facebook thing, you know, an event in Facebook. So like if I did like a 3 or 4 day event in Facebook, I'd say, okay, so that needs to be like the 18th, 19th, and 20th, right? If I did a multi-day thing. And then I need to give myself 2 weeks to promote the free thing. So my first email goes out about the free event. It goes out August 5th, okay? So that's how that works. So I give myself like a 2 week window to promote pretty much every part of my process, right? And you know, basically if you're, and you also got to think about like, okay, what needs to be done in which order? So pretty much, like I just helped a client yesterday kind of plan her launch. And actually these were her dates. So I was like, okay, so the first thing, because it can be overwhelming, right? So you do need to know like what kind of course you're gonna offer, like what is, you know, what's the topic, right? And then if you work backwards, so we've already figured out the dates, right? For the most part, you're just sending out emails, you know, like 4 emails for each thing. To promote each thing, right? Maybe 5. I send more, but generally somewhere in that ballpark. Okay, so like to help yourself kind of clarify what needs to happen in what order during a live launch, generally you start with, well, what is the paid thing going to be? Okay, so like my client yesterday, when I helped her plan her launch, she said, well, I work with people that have IBS and I want to teach them in the paid course how to do the FODMAP diet. I'm like, okay, cool. So what we need to do is we need to figure out like what will your free event be about? Either your free webinar or your free, you know, 3-day challenge inside a Facebook group. What will that be about? Because it needs to be connected, you know? It needs to be like but you want to be careful that you're not, you know, it's not so detailed that the person's like, well, I don't need to pay for your paid course. You already just told me everything I need to know, right? So generally speaking, this is a little kind of, I guess, insider tip, is your paid course really goes into detail about how you implement, like all the ins and outs, the structure, the strategy, how you do it, okay? Your free thing, like if you're going to do a free webinar, so like in this example, when I was helping my client yesterday, we decided like her clients, her audience, they don't really even know what FODMAP is, right? So they need some pre-education before they're ready to buy a class on FODMAP. Like, they don't even know what that is. So we decided to do a webinar, not even using the word FODMAP in the title, because again, that's not going to resonate for them. They don't know that's their solution yet. So like, we're going to go with like the three biggest mistakes people make when, you know, when dealing with their IBS symptoms, and then, and what to do instead that works, right? So we're going to create a webinar like that, where she can pre-educate her audience on why it's so important, you know, what your options are in terms of, you know, treating IBS, and then really focusing on the benefits of the specific diet therapy, FODMAPs, right? And then we got to position it. We got to tell people why it's so hard, why they really can't do it alone, in order to get them incentivized to pay for the course. Does that make sense to everybody? I know I'm kind of going a little deep here, but the positioning is super, super important because it's so very strategic. So basically, my client was like, oh my God, I'm kind of overwhelmed now. And I was like, okay, we're good. Like, what do you got to do next? We, you know, we pretty much know the paid course, what it's about. We do need to come up with a title for the course and some bullet points. And then we need to come up with a title and bullet points for the webinar. And we need to start working on the webinar first. Like, a lot of people are go right to the paid course and they spend all this time on the paid course, but then they don't get enough people in. Like, we got to spend time on the front end, making sure your marketing is really solid. Otherwise, you're not going to have a course to even teach, right? So that's where things can get a little bit hairy, to be honest with you, because, let me just say, you do not have to have everything figured out with your paid course until you're ready to deliver it. I know that sounds crazy and stressful, but what you do have to get people to say yes, you have to have a title and you have to have some good bullet points on what you're going to cover, like what the modules are. You need a good price, you know, you got to have a price strategy, always do an early bird special. And I like to always figure out like what my handouts are going to be. So like just a real basic outline, and that's really what you need to sell it. And then you got to work on your marketing up front to actually get people in it, right? So, okay. So let me take a look at the questions. Okay. So Chris, I'm partnering with a beauty counter rep for a free webinar on detoxing. Oh, good. Yeah. That's awesome. So, all right. I love that idea so much. Guys, I cannot emphasize enough how powerful partnering with other people can be. Case in point, another one of my clients, longtime clients, her name is Jen Hernandez. She is right now in Hawaii. So she's a renal dietitian. And, you know, renal is not the easiest thing to, like a lot of times people think that renal is completely covered by insurance, right? So it's really not the easiest thing. What ended up happening is she ended up partnering. She reached out to a guy that had a huge following on YouTube, like 100,000 people. He's just a guy, just a regular guy who happens to have renal disease. So, and she even said, like, gosh, you know, when I first saw him, I kind of felt like I felt a little territorial, like, he's not even a nutritionist. Like, what is he doing talking about this stuff, right? Like, but she got over it. She reached out to him, and now she's like a regular guest on his YouTube show, his weekly YouTube show. Oh my gosh, her business, like, oh my God, it's completely exploded. Just beyond belief. So really be looking for other influencers that you could potentially partner with, right? And like with this, this beauty counter person, Chris, I mean, you could, you know, you don't have to do this, but it's pretty common, like, in the world of like, I wouldn't do this with doctors, okay? But like with someone like that who's a rep, who really does have an audience, like you could pay her like a little affiliate bonus for every person that signs up from her audience, right? And you know, you just work that into the price. So partnering with other people, oh my gosh, so, so, so helpful. Really, really, really good. Okay, sounds like the YouTube guy tapped into her emotions. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, she really had to overcome, like, her first reaction was like very territorial, like, what the heck? You know, what is this guy doing? This is like, you know, and then she's like, okay, just chill. Like, and she just reached out to him and said, you know what? I like what you're doing. I'm really, you know, I support your mission. Would you like to have a chat? You know, like maybe just explore how we can support each other. So anyway, that worked out really well. So like this beauty counter rep, you know, that could be a really, you know, any kind of opportunity like that could be really super. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Olga.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi guys. Hi everybody.
Hi. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Sorry, missed last week. Was busy, crazy. Anyway, speaking of partnership, a friend of mine, she opened up a dance studio, and dance studio is targeting female between 20 and I would say 50.
Oh.
So she wants to promote me as a dietitian, collaborating with her dance studio, because a lot of her clients are looking to lose weight, get in a better shape, and so on. So she called me today. She wants to put me on her website, and we've done all of that because she cannot launch yet, really, because of the COVID. So it's kind of like, waiting to go ahead. But in the meantime, she called me today and she told me that she wants to advertise me for like a little workshop, maybe like two sessions, an hour and a half session in her studio, where I will talk on some topic, and hopefully some of these clients will want one-on-one I'm sorry, let me close the door. My husband is on the phone interrupting. So, and to me, I don't have an experience leading a workshop, and this is the topic of our conversation today, having a workshop, having a group talk. So, and you mentioned earlier, which I thought was helpful, that maybe this whole 90 minutes or two sessions could be Q&A or could be client oriented, like what are they looking for, what are the goals. So
yeah,
basically I'm reaching out. If anybody can help, maybe anybody has an outline of such a workshop, like general workshop, you guys can share.
So it's a dance studio, and the age, did you say 15 to 20?
No.
20 to 50?
20 to 50, yes.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, so it's,
and
like,
yeah, and she says like there are husbands who need to be fed, there are children that need to be fed, and I'm like, what do you want me to talk about? Like most of these women, they're looking to lose weight, but how, this is very general, like it's really, it must be an individual conversation, but that is the next step, recruiting them for one-on-one program or consultation.
Okay, so your question is like what to do a webinar on?
Yeah, like what this group session, 90 minute session could cover, like.
Okay. What I would do, I mean, if she allows you, let you do like a little survey.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, I would do a survey, and
prior?
Pre and post exercise is a good idea for sure. This is me, like, you know, I like to know, get a little information about my audience first. So what I think would be really awesome is if we can do a survey and maybe on Google Forms or something. And what you really want to know is what are their biggest pain, you know, what are their biggest struggles? in terms of their health, their weight, their eating.
Okay.
I would recommend you ask that questions in two different ways. I would ask it open-ended, and then I would also ask them, yes, and do get their emails. Good idea, Chris. Christine.
And this is prior to the session, right? Because she's not sure if she wants to do it one-time deal or she wants to have two sessions, 90 minutes each, and sell as a package so they attend this.
Yeah, I think it would be great market research. If you can do it first, like, it would be great to better understand their struggles from their perspective, mm-hmm. right? And you could even use like some of those same questions that we've talked about, like, you know, name, email, maybe their phone number, you know, what are your main challenges and obstacles and concerns with your health, your weight, you know, and your nutrition or your diet, something like that, and let them answer open-ended. I'd probably want to know what they've done in the past. You know, what have you done in the past? What were the results? What are your top three goals, you know, for your health or weight? And I think the other question I would ask Olga is I would give them a list of options, like some of the ones that people are sharing in the chat. Like, Kara's idea, post, pre and post exercise. Yeah, similar as the discovery call form. But like, I would try to get them to rank in the order of importance give them some specific things to pick from. Like, are you most interested in, you know, pre and post exercise nutrition? Are you most interested in, you know, strategies to lose weight? You know, give them a bunch of ideas.
We'll put it on them and then gather what they're interested in and prepare my 90 minutes based on that.
Okay. That's what I would do. Yeah. Okay. And just I would just do it on Google Forms. It's great market research.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Awesome. Okay. So yeah, I want to check in. I know, Raquel, you had a whole bunch of questions about, like, this process. Is there anything else that's coming up for you? Like, you guys can read the rest of the handout. Like, basically, the rest of the handout is all about, you know, kind of, like, organizing your course, if you're going to offer a course. You know, like, how to come up with different modules and, you know, subtopics within each module. It's very similar to your process that we went through in coming up with like a signature program. So I think I'd rather spend our time. You're welcome, Olga. I'd like to spend our time, you know, answering your questions.
Did you want me to unmute?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. What else is on your list of questions?
So I think my main two are, so I had a fitness studio that kind of like Olga wanted me to develop a group program. And what I struggle with is how do I create this thing where it fits all of it, like where there's still an individual component. So like, you know, not everyone's goals will be the same. So how do I do the group and not spend one-on-one type of hours,
right?
But yet still give them a little bit of what they need more specifically?
Yeah. So, and that's important because if you are like a licensed practitioner, you do have to be cognizant of that, right? Like, you know, crossing state lines and all that kind of thing. So it does need to be more like high level education, right, for the most part. So probably I think you need to come up with a structure for the interaction and inside of the group, you know, like definitely you want to come up with like kind of like you know, like rules, you know, like, you know, like you because oh my gosh, like you want the group to be positive, right? So like, well, let me ask you this. do you like how we do it in this group where we usually start with the positive stuff? Like, you know, maybe get an update. I like that. I think it really helps motivate people and it kind of starts the group on a positive note. So you could, you know, like open each group coaching call with getting a little, you know, having a few people volunteer in terms of any positive movement forward, right? So that, because what you don't want is negativity, right? So you really want to get people thinking about, you know, like the positive, what they actually did accomplish. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you, for these people, well, for like coaching clients, let's say, so at a fitness studio, I'm thinking either weight loss, muscle gain, they're trying to get in better shape. So like, would you still have an, like where they submit maybe a food log, or is that just too much work for a group program?
Yeah, I don't think I would. Like, okay. I mean, cause I don't think, oh, you did, Chris, or didn't?
Sorry, I meant I didn't.
Okay.
Not much work.
Yeah, I can't imagine like how much work that would be for multiple people. It sounds, you got to really think about what, how realistic it is to do certain things. My vote is I would not do it, and it doesn't sound like anyone else so far would recommend that either. I mean, they could do it for themselves, but I would not have them turn it in.
Okay. I was thinking that too, like if they want to know about how many calories or macros, do you teach them how to do that? Or maybe you calculate it, but then you don't review their food logs. It's up to them to.
Oh, I would teach people. I would teach people how to do it themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because otherwise, can you imagine like, well, but wait, no. Oh, wait, what's mine? Wait, you know, like I think you, in a group, you're teaching people it's much higher level. I don't think you can. Yeah. I don't think you can do that. Oh yeah. Good idea, Chris. I can use my fitness pal. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My other, I guess, couple questions with this was, how long do you usually give yourself after a program to like kind of assess how it went and revise it before you launch it again?
Well, it depends. Like my stuff is every year. So yeah. But I have, you know, a few programs, but I'd say like for the average, you know, like a more, I guess, normal process might be, I mean, like, here's the deal. Like, I can't remember, someone was asking me, I forget where this was. They're asking me if I thought it was okay if they offered their 1 month program every single month. And I was like, I kind of don't, because one of the things that, like, it, first of all, it's going to be like a hamster wheel. It's not easy to fill these things, right? It's a level of work. I would not want to do something like that every month. That would just drive me insane. I would not enjoy it. But the other part of it is, see, if something is always available, what is the motivation for the person to sign up? Okay. Like if you said to me, okay, Leslie, you can do this course, and you know, it's offered every single month. Do you want to do it this month? I'd be like, no, I don't think I want to. I think I'd rather do it. Like, it's not a really a good time, but since you offer it every month, like I'll be fine. I'll just figure it out. You know what I mean? Like there's no urgency for me to sign up. So, you know, I think you have to figure out what's good for you. My thought is, I mean, I would probably maybe explore quarterly, you know, maybe quarterly. And that way, like, you have, you know, like maybe do a, like a 3-month coaching program. And like, I'm just pulling 3 months out of thin air, right? Like it doesn't have to be, but yeah, I think, and then like, let's say you get more people, like the demand is high, you could run 2 groups simultaneously if you needed to, right? So yeah, I mean, I think there's flexibility. I think you just have to kind of figure out what's right for you. But the thought of like being under pressure to fill a program every month, I would never want to do that myself. Like I need to have a break and then go, okay, I'm ready to do it again. Cause you know, yeah. it's there's a degree of stress. It's awesome. Like, don't get me wrong. Like it's awesome, but I just couldn't do it all the time. And the other thing is you got to think about, are you going to burn your list out? That's another thing I forgot to mention. Because don't forget, you're sending emails. And if your list is constantly like, hey, I'm all about the 80-20 rule, right? Like 80% of the time, they're getting a lot of great free stuff, super high value. And then 20% of the time, you got to ask for something paid. A lot of people resist that. They're like, oh my gosh, but people are going to unsubscribe. Too bad. Like, you got to make a living, right? You know, like you've earned the right to offer a paid thing. But if it's constantly, every single week, you know what I mean? Then people don't, A, they'll unsubscribe, and B, they won't even pay attention anymore. So like there's a lot of nuances. Does that help or does that confuse you more? Like I'd probably do it. I'd start with quarterly.
Yeah, no, that helps. The last one was, are there specific forms that, since we're dealing more with either MNT, weight loss, stuff like that they fill out when it comes to a group program, since it's probably hard for them all to be anonymous if we're doing lives or group coaching.
Do you guys remember when we started the academy, I had everyone fill out an intake form? That's, yes. So I like that, because then, you know, I could, like, even before the class started, I could kind of feel like I know each of you.
I meant for like privacy, where obviously some of their information, yes, their names and stuff like that will be known to the others in the group.
Yeah.
So
I do think, does anyone have a form? Like I know I don't think I used to have people sign something, but nowadays, I don't know. What do you guys do when you have, like, Kara, what did you do for your group? How did you address privacy?
I don't know if I did.
Okay. Yeah.
What I will say is I in the past I had always done the Facebook group.
Yeah.
And with the COVID and with people's crazy anxieties and all of that stuff, and privacy and whatever, I really felt that Zoom was a way better fit for all involved, because it just kind of helped with privacy. It helped with people that don't like Facebook. Everybody at this point was getting more familiar with Zoom because everything was virtual. That difference from moving from Facebook to Zoom, I thought was a positive change. And I was a little nervous because like you said, you're so familiar with Zoom, so that's good. I was really familiar with Facebook because I'd done it a few times.
Yeah.
Kind of like switch over, but whatever. It really was more, I was more anxious before I knew what the heck I was doing than when I went in there. I'm like, oh my God, this is not hard at all.
Yeah. Gotcha. So yeah. So bottom line in terms of like the confidentiality is okay guys, when you do a group, it's super, super important to lay kind of the guidelines and the ground rules up front. You know, I would say especially in this day and age, right? Super important, like, you know, support and kindness only. Like, I mean, I hate to say it, but probably nowadays you have to. Everything that, you know, like, I don't know if you need to have someone sign. Guys, you know, I'm not an attorney. I'm sure if you talk to a lawyer, they'd be like, oh, yes, you have to get them to sign off, right? But let's be real. Probably if it were me, I don't know if I would have people sign off, like, everything that we talk about is private, blah, blah, blah. But I would really, really drive it home. I would drive it home big time in the, you know, when I went through the guidelines. Okay, so Chris, okay. Okay. So you add this to the Facebook group. Okay, awesome. Okay, this is really good. Thanks for sharing. Oh my God, so good. Oh, this is excellent. Yeah, fantastic. Thanks so much. I think this nails it. Yeah, and I would just verbally review these game rules, you know, as well, or guidelines. And, you know, just, you know, verbally get people's buy-in. This is really helpful. Okay, great. What else, Raquel? What else is on your list? Anything? I think you wanted to know, like, how many people?
Oh, yeah, someone had, and I don't even know who, had recommended not doing more than 10 on your first group, just to, since it's their first time.
Yeah.
But I just wanted your opinion.
I mean, I think it really depends on how you want the group to feel. Like, 10 is my limit for, to get a sense of intimacy. Like, you know, like, if, okay, let me rephrase that. So with a group where I'm not constantly sharing and teaching content, my personal preference is, like, if it's really mostly coaching, not so much like teaching a whole bunch of stuff, then I would say 10. Now, if it's a group that is heavy content and teaching and kind of light on the interaction, then it's really up to you. It's funny you ask that because, you know, this client that I was telling you about, and I can say her name because she did a testimonial for me, and so I have permission. So it's interesting. So, like, she just did a launch, okay? And it was the same kind of question. She was, like, in a really, because, you know, she had this YouTuber, right? I mean, her business is literally exploding, like, to the point where she's like, oh my God, like, I gotta hire people. I gotta do a wait list, like, insane. So she did this launch of, I don't know, I think her course, it had to be 500. It was not, like, she did not price it super low. She decided to, like, she got kind of freaked out that so many people were signing up, is what happened. And she got really nervous and she shut down enrollment. And she's like, yesterday, she's like, oh man, I kind of think I shot myself in the foot, you know, by closing down enrollment. But she did get nervous. You know, you live and learn. Personally, if it's a group, like 6-week group, a lot of content to teach, not a super ton of, like, handholding and laser coaching, then I personally do not put a cap on enrollment. That's me, okay? If the group is really, if I'm promoting it as a high touch coaching group where I promise every person is going to get personalized attention, then I have to cap it. And usually my magic number is 10. But I got to say, if I give every single person attention, you know, like private, you know, laser coaching, honestly, like probably, you know, like 10 is the max. Let me just say that. Like, I don't think I'd go over 10 because I wouldn't be able to keep my promise then. Does that help?
So, yeah. So if it's like one live per week and everything else is pre-recorded, do you consider that more heavy content, not as much group coaching?
Yeah.
Or do you? Okay.
I do. Yeah. Like one live a week. Yeah, for sure a live. are you doing a live stream or a live Zoom?
I don't even know yet. I was thinking Zoom just to start.
Yeah. Well, you know, in all honesty, here's the other thing. You could worry about that when it happens.
So just start small, and then...
Like, I would not spend a lot of time worrying about, like, oh, my God, what if I have too many people?
Okay.
Until later. That's just me. I mean, the way you're describing it, like, yours sounds a little more content heavy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, since this is the first start, and yeah. Then maybe the upsell could be more of like a group program.
Yeah.
Like a smaller group program. Yeah. Or one-on-one.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that would be good. Like, the next step after they're kind of educated would be, okay, now, you know, you've got all the information, you've had a nice introduction. Now the next step is to actually implement. I like that. I like that model a lot.
Yeah, like level one, and then now that you've graduated, you can move on to like it's level like an two.
Advanced, yeah, it's more of an advanced group. I like it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, guys, so I hope this was helpful. Yeah, it looks like we did a lot of the questions. Okay, guys, keep at it, right? I really just want to encourage you, keep at it. And, you know, just try to think strategically. Like, what is it, Marie Forleo? Everything is figure-outable. To a certain degree, I do believe that, right? So, yeah, so just keep at it. And, gosh, like, Kara, if you – one thing I was going to mention is, like, Kara and those of you that are kind of struggling with like the time and how to get all this done and where to focus, I really would recommend you go back to creating your ideal week. Like Kara, if you want to try to find like more corporate gigs, give yourself a few hours a week, you know, to just completely focus on that. So I know it's kind of easier said than done. But anyway, just wanted to mention that. And then Barbara, do I recommend a 3 or a 5 week course? I don't know. Or five. I mean, I think part of it depends on what's the length of time that your people can actually get some results. Like I, you know, being a clinician, I'm always thinking like, well, what do I have to do to help them get some results? I think I would start with that. I like 4 weeks. I don't know, 3 or 5, like, yeah, I kind of like 4. What would I call it other than a course? Program? You know? Yeah, something like that. Okay. All right, guys. All right. See you next time. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye, guys.